just call me Jay. That's what my friends call me. That's what I go by. I just go by Jay. My work experience, I joined the Navy when I was 17 years old. I had a secret security clearance. There's different levels of security clearance. There's a lower level, then there's a secret, which is what I had, which is like a mid-level, and then there's a top secret. I did not have a top secret clearance, so there's a lot that I don't know. But I did have a secret clearance. So it's basically the mid-level security clearance for the government that I had. And I did that job for 8 years. I worked in operational intelligence specifically. The radar navigation, there's a limited scope of what we're able to see. Now, granted, this is 15 or 20 years ago. What I mean by that is, with it being 15 or 20 years ago, the technology nowadays on the new warships, I would imagine, are just off the charts advanced compared to what we had, you know, 20 years ago in the early 2000s when I was doing deployments for the Navy. We're looking at the scope of the radar. Now, this is just going off of the actual screen that we can see. Now, there's three different screens. There's the basic radar screen where we have this limited scope where it only goes out like 25 miles, right? Then there's this other bigger screen, and I forgot the name of it, but it goes onto this huge projection in the Combat Information Center. Basically is where all of the information is housed. And on this huge screen, we can actually zoom out and see a significant portion of our area of responsibility. I can't say the exact number. Again, a lot of this is classified. Basically, when we zoom out onto this large projectile screen, it goes in and out, right? So the reason why we're able to zoom in and then pull back out is just for accuracy. So if we're looking at something that could just be like a buoy in the water, right? You know, just one of the little tiny buoys that track, that the ships can use as kind of placements to track where they're going, that can be mistaken for an actual like small watercraft. So we have to be able to differentiate between that and some of the ships that we're looking for, because some of the deployments we're on, we're out there looking for drug ships, we're looking for other types of ships, submarines, basically just to keep a track of everything. That's basically what the Navy and Coast Guard do. They want to make sure that they know what's going on in the seas, and that's kind of the way the United States Navy operates. They're basically dictating what happens in international waters. As we zoom out to look at the larger scope of things, once we verify that, we're able to zoom out over a large distance. Now, over this screen, at the time, I was like 18 or 19 years old. All right, when I was doing this job, I wasn't thinking about flat earth and any of this other shit. I was still indoctrinated and under the assumption that the earth is a spinning ball. I never thought about flat earth or anything like that, but I always thought it was weird that as I'm looking at this massive radar screen, I always used to think, how come we're looking at this and I can see, like, we're off of the coast of Argentina, for instance, right? Like, how is it that I can see this far out and it's not like over the horizon or curve, because it's so far? Like I said, we use a lot of these other link signals, and they're called links. They go by different names. I can't say the code names. Some of them I forgot. Some of them are, again, this is classified information. I can't give any specifics on these. But some of the links that we use, not only do we speak to the actual ships and track them, but we speak to aircraft. 10,000, 20,000, 30 and higher, 30,000 feet and higher is what I'm saying. It's not just a matter that they're 30,000 feet directly. It's not like they're directly above the ship. This is what's interesting, is this aircraft could be 50, 60 miles away and 30,000 feet in the air. So you understand like the angle that you have to take to be able to track this aircraft from a ship that's moving on the water. Think about that for a second. Let's just say we're like 30 miles away. These missiles can shoot much further than that. I can't give you the exact number, but say we're 30 miles away, okay? 30 miles is far. So from our ship, we can track on our little, we have like a missile projectile. It's like a radar, but it's a little bit different. It's specifically designed to track the missiles. You and actually input the coordinates, latitude and longitude of where you want the missile to strike. Really, really high precision accuracy. I mean, really accurate. We hit that launch and the missile, and it will hit that target 30 miles away, even longer than that. Now, here's the thing. Again, that's not possible on a curved Earth. These missiles are huge, you know, 50 caliber projectiles that are carrying massive amounts of explosives in them, okay? Each one of these missiles are probably worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. So whenever you're lining up these missiles to shoot at targets that are 30 plus miles away, if the earth is spinning? Again, now think about this. We're not sitting like on land holding a gun. All right. So picture this. We're on a ship, like actually in the middle of the water. Okay. And the missile is shooting off of the bow of the ship. So if the world is a spinning ball and we're on this curved earth with water and we're spinning 600 miles per hour through infinite space, I'm pretty sure that it would be physically like it wouldn't even make any kind of sense on a physics type level to be able to shoot a missile from a spot in the water on a spinning ball to pinpoint accurately hit another spot. A waypoint would be like this. Like, let's say we're out in the middle of the water and we want to hit a target that's like directly to our west, 15 miles away. But that target is able to track our missile coming at them. We don't want that target to know where the missile's coming from. So we can put in waypoint. And a waypoint would be like putting a point out like 20 miles east and then another point like 15 miles north and then another point like 10 miles south of that and then put in our target. You see what I'm saying? So the missile doesn't go directly from the ship to the target. The missile will actually fly to the latitude and longitude of the waypoints that are put in, and then it will curve from there and it will hit all the waypoints and then attack the target. How is that possible on a spinning earth? If the earth is moving at 600 something miles per hour or whatever they say it is, there's no way that missile could stay. There's no way that missile would be able to keep track. Do you understand what I'm saying? At least that's how I'm looking at it. It may be a little bit harder to visualize if you actually weren't seeing it the way that I would see it, or there, or understanding and putting in the coordinates, or seeing how this actually worked out. But I'm telling you, like, from my perspective, that is one of the things that makes it virtually impossible to accept the globe as this. Well, it's a fake lie. It's a theory. It's garbage, is what it is.